This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Why Though the Podcast.
We did it. That was amazing.
Hello, Destiny Johnson.
Hello, Lizzie Acker. In person in the
flesh. Oh my gosh, amazing.
Can you guys believe it?
We're here together.
Back together in action after 5 weeks.
Over a month. Yeah, because we kept taking turns going to the other side of the country.
We sure did. I'm back and so delighted to report that the weather here in Portland is nothing like the weather in Florida. Mm. Thank God.
The weather here in Portland today is superb.
It's really great. I did put on a sweater a little preemptively, I will say. I got out to the car and I was like, I was hopeful.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, maybe wear a sweater in the morning, you're sweating by afternoon. But this is a very light sweater, so.
It's very cute. You look very cute.
The picture that on Why Though, this is the same outfit.
Yes. Yeah.
So, shout out to Matt's outfit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I'm so glad to be back. Oh my gosh.
Me
Oregon,
too.
What a dream.
I know. The water here, so soft. My hair, when in Florida, not the business. Back in Oregon, I'm a Pantene commercial, y'all. So
I feel like lately every time I like ride my bike into the neighborhood or drive into the neighborhood or walk around my neighborhood, I'm like, I love it here.
Yeah,
I like it, love the flowers, I love the trees, I love the sky. I'm just
and I'm also fully ready for Twilight season, as I call it, like Twilight the movie, for the record. Ready for that to happen as well.
I think Oregon and Portland in particular, like, great with seasons, honestly. Not a bad one in the bunch, but fall is
it's pretty
so
great.
Nice.
If you think, wow, Oregon people talking about the weather, come here, experience
Welcome.
It. Yeah,
yeah,
come check it out. We have, unfortunately, something a little less chipper to talk about as a topic. Typically, this podcast, as you know, thanks for tuning in, is a podcast version of Lizzie's advice column, where people write her questions and she gives incredible advice on it. But today, not because we didn't have a question. We
actually
one.
Yeah, actually, this week's column, if you're interested, a listener and a reader, is a reader response.
Yes.
So I have I had a column and podcast a couple weeks ago. We talked about a neighbor, a screaming neighbor. You may remember. You can go back and listen to it, read it. And I got a lot of responses. So I'm putting those in the column. And I suggest you read that column. It comes out on Tuesday. And you can go to the Oregon. No, that's not where you would go. You'd go OregonLive.com/why though.
WHYTHO, the cool way.
Yep. And you will find there all the columns, all the podcasts, and everything you could possibly want.
And if you're looking to get a hold of Lizzie to give her a question because you'd want her lovely advice.
Or if you just want to chat.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to hear my thoughts on things, you should join our little text circle. Well, it's not a circle. It's more like a line from me to you and you to me. Mm-hmm. But if you want to do that, it costs money. The first 2 weeks are free, but it's very cool. I'm going to text you. I'm going to text you like every day, unfortunately, or fortunately for you. And you're going to just text the word advice to 503-751-8731. And then you click on the link and you subscribe and I will start texting you. And it really is me. The first one is an automated response. After that, it's me.
Yeah, for real. Like I watched her do it with my eyeballs. So it's a real thing.
I generally am texting Destiny's mom, actually.
Yeah, my mom is a part of it. Shout out, as always.
Love
to
your mom.
My mom.
Yeah.
And you can do that. And I think you're going to have a lot to say, listeners, about what we're going to talk about today, because it is something from the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
You're not aware, I mean.
Yeah. Well, let's hear about it.
Okay. So I don't know about you, Lizzie, but there was a time that I was very prolifically consuming YouTube. I still consume a lot of YouTube, but I was like very into the YouTube culture, if you will. I never watched this channel that has come under fire and the woman who ran it. It was called Eight Passengers, but I'm sure you're familiar with like family YouTube channels, right?
Yeah, and actually there's a sort of a link between, I wasn't into the YouTube thing as much and I didn't have children at that time, right. So I wasn't into that. But you know, I was really into Mormon mommy blogs. Like, so into Mormon mommy. Okay. There was a time, and this
like
was even before.
Like watching a train wreck, kind of into
well,
it?
Well, no, I mean, this is like, I'm going to say 2008, 2000 to 2012, sure. Around there. There were all this proliferation of Mormon mommy blogs where women were just like talking about their lives and their beautiful, perfect children and everything. And it was actually basically a purposeful, like, outreach from right. the Mormon church. They really encouraged this, but it was so intriguing to just like see how uh-huh. these people were, a lot of them in Utah, as this woman who yes. we're about to talk about, Utah, pretty, lots of kids, like all in their matching outfits,
the Mormon way,
and you're like, I don't want it, but there's something about it that is can't turn away.
Yeah, it's the aesthetic. I mean, I would argue that some Mormon family bloggers were sort of the very beginning of like the child aesthetic. So you see it a lot of on Instagram now.
Right. It's all moved to Instagram.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about the Eight Passengers YouTube channel that is no longer, but was really popular. Began in 2015. It was run by the Frank family. Has been arrested with her colleague, Jody Hildebrandt, on 6 counts of aggravated child abuse of 2 of her 6 children. If you're not aware of this situation, this is from the Associated Press. Police were made aware of the issue when Frank's 12-year-old son climbed out of the window of Hildebrandt's home, where Frank, Ruby Frank, and Jody Hildebrandt both were, to go to a nearby house to ask for water. He had tape on his ankles, which caused those people to call police. And he had deep lacerations from being tied up with rope, as according to the Associated Press, this came from prosecutors. He also appeared malnourished. The daughter, who is 10 years old, was found also malnourished in the Hildebrandt's home. And so those two children and the other two minors have been taken into protective care. The other two of the 6 kids, like I said, are adults, one of which has a social media account on Instagram. She's 20. Her name's Sherry. And she posted when her mom was arrested. She said, finally, she posted a story. And then she came out and said that her and other loved ones have been trying to alert authorities to what's allegedly been going on in the home for a long time, and that this was a long time coming, and that she hasn't had contact with her family in a long time. This isn't the first time that Franks have come under like fire from the public. This is the first legal issue that the public knows about. But when they had that YouTube channel that was like really popular in 2015, it went on for 7 years. They came under fire for a lot of like their decisions. And you said you had heard about a couple of them, like the
yeah,
there was, like,
well,
a lunch issue.
Yeah, actually, it's so interesting because like before this arrest, these sort of started popping up in my TikTok,
okay.
which I like. So I'd never heard of her before.
Yeah,
and,
me either, really.
And there was one that I thought was especially disturbing where she's basically talking about how the school just called her because I believe AP said it was a kindergartner.
Mm-hmm.
Her kindergarten daughter showed up without a lunch. And I don't think it was the first time. Don't quote me on that. But she was like really upset because she's like, the school is getting involved. My daughter has to make her own lunch. She's a kindergartner.
Mm-hmm.
She has to make her own lunch. And she knows if she doesn't, then she goes hungry, which is like outrageous.
Yeah, so for any first-time listeners, I'm a childless spinster, but Lizzie has a kid.
I have a kid, but I'm also a human being.
Yeah, no, I obviously,
and I've worked
as a childless
with children,
spinster.
And you have known children.
Yes, I absolutely have. And I think it's absurd.
Like, of course, the school is going to call and be like, your daughter needs to have a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what, it doesn't, she's not responsible for that. You're her parent.
Mm-hmm.
And the school is going to give her lunch.
Right.
They're not going to let a child go hungry because that's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're trying to let you know that you need to bring your kid lunch.
Right. Because you're making a problem now for other people,
right.
essentially. At the very least, at the most, you're kind of like embarrassing your kid who isn't even old enough to understand that kind of punishment. I don't think.
No, I mean,
I'm not a child psychiatrist.
It doesn't even make sense.
Right.
As a I mean, that's also like not punishment. That's torture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like some things that you, as a parent, you're like the basics the very basic basics are making sure your kids are physically safe mm-hmm. and like fed.
And making sure that your kids understand that those things are non-negotiable.
Right.
Right. That's, I think, a very intrinsic part of it. Like, just doing it isn't enough. Your kids need to know that right. they're safe. And this wasn't the only issue. So, like, they also came under fire because they allegedly, according to them, their own admission on their YouTube, that the oldest son, who's now 18, at the time, he played a prank on one of his younger brothers and was not able to use his room for 7 months and had to sleep on a beanbag chair. And like, I was a teenager. Sleep, parents and sleep and teenagers is sometimes like this weird clashing, but like, teenagers need sleep. Their bodies are doing wild things. Their brains have to be on for many, many hours a day through social things, through school, through navigating the world. They need to eat. You know, we all know that they're bottomless pits, and they need to sleep, and they need good quality sleep. And sleeping on a beanbag for 7 months is absurd. It's not illegal, but it's absurd. And I mean, a lot of the things that they were doing seemed like this.
Right. And if that's what they're willing to put on YouTube.
Right.
Like, what are they? I mean, I guess, like, you know, it's interesting. This morning, well, in my text, if you're, you know, in the text, I was thinking it was the first day of school. I dropped my child off at school. I mean, Montessori school. She's four. No, she's not even four. She's three. about to be four. But, I was thinking, oh, does it make me a bad mom that I'm so happy she's going back to school? So that's what I was texting about. But I was thinking, you know, I think normal moms feel often like they're bad moms for all kinds of things. And a lot of those things are based off of things that we see in the zeitgeist and in media and like other people's portrayal of their perfect, their perfect lives. But the real bad moms are the ones who are doubling down and never consider themselves bad moms. You know, the real bad moms are people. I mean, I think it's pretty messed up to use your children for content to begin with.
This
even
is, yeah,
even
this
if
is
it's good, you know, even if you're not literally committing child abuse on YouTube, I don't think that using your kid for content is ethical.
This was the heart of the question I wanted to get at for the advice, essentially. Obviously, this is something to talk about. It's a hot button issue right now. You guys can go find more about it on any given news site right now. But I was going to ask you, as somebody with a kid, I have opinions
also
about
like
it.
Also, I do sometimes use my kid as content, right? Like, I mean,
you have a private Instagram, so
I have a
you
private
know
Instagram.
Who's looking at it.
Yeah, I have a private Instagram, but I write stories about my kid. I do. I write about her. I do go on trips with her, and I write about it. I, you know, sometimes she helps me review things. Like, she's helped me review ice cream or hopscotch PDX, you know, like art. I try really hard to make sure it's not, like, a full-face picture of her, for one thing. I'm not recording video of her and putting it out there, you know, in that way. You know, maybe, and I'm sure there's people who think what I'm doing is totally wrong, but I think there's a difference, because I'm not like putting her fully out there like that. And maybe, you know what, in 10 years we can have her on the podcast.
I love that.
And be like, Nona, what do you think?
We talked about you when you were a little bean.
I mean, it's impossible for me not to talk about her. So I do see, I do see the desire to use your kids as content on like YouTube or TikTok. And it's actually super lucrative.
My question is ultimately, and I think you're kind of getting to this, but it's like, it's this wouldn't be such a large news story if she hadn't used her kids during the good, the bad, when they were so sick, when they were meant to be going to the ER, when they were upset and didn't want to be around or on a camera or whatever. If they weren't so prolifically on the internet because their parents put them on the internet.
Right.
This wouldn't be a huge news story. It would be a sad local area story, right?
Yeah.
But it's such a big news story because they robbed their kids of privacy for many, many years.
Right.
And that is ultimately my question. Can you share your child on social media without violating their privacy? And in my opinion, and I mean, we've talked about this before, kids deserve autonomy and privacy that is appropriate to their age level.
Right. I mean, kids are people.
Right.
They are not a big voting block because of the laws, but they are human beings. And I totally agree. I mean, I think there's a huge spectrum of what of how people deal with this. I know lots of people who don't even put their kids on Instagram, on a private Instagram.
Right.
And then, you know, there's obviously to this extent where people are making money off of their kids. And there's a lot of it on TikTok. I mean, I think it used to be big YouTube, and now like there's a lot of people who they show their kids doing funny things, or I mean, talk about their children's illnesses. That's a really big one. And they make money off of it. And I mean, kids, I don't think that they are capable of consent.
Right.
I don't know if you ever saw, there's a documentary about child actors a while ago. So it's really good. And if I could remember the name, it's named after the name of the documentary is the name of the apartment complex in LA where a lot of child actors live when they're like, like trying to break in. And after watching that documentary, I thought it is child abuse to let children be actors. You know, it's not, they are not capable of consenting to that. They're being put in totally adult situations in this incredibly public way that they can't, they'll have no control over. You know, once you're 18, or I mean, I guess we could probably even say 16 or something like that, you can, you have some sense. I mean, your brain's not fully formed, but at least you have some autonomy. But if you're like 3 or 5 or 8, you don't even have a concept of what it means to put your image out there.
Right.
So I guess when I, you know, use Nona, that's her name, I say her name, you know, like I try to make it, first of all, I'm curating it. I'm using some quotes from her or whatever, but it's not like a video of her worst moments,
right,
or like her, I'm not gonna like post a video of her having a meltdown online,
right,
or you know, swimming. Yeah, I don't know. Like people put all these things up and they don't really think about how that feels to that human.
And I can tell you from the other side of the spectrum, I mean, I'm 30 and I'm going to be 31 soon. And my birthday's next month. Y'all remember.
Hey, happy birthday next month.
Thank you so much.
My birthday's this month.
I know. So exciting. We're both Libras, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Libra city.
Maybe we should get a star person in for our birthday time.
Ooh, we really should. Yeah.
We'll reach out. Anyways, from being on the other side of it, I have been, I mean, I was putting my face on the internet so early.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it started on MySpace and it went to Facebook. Now I've been on every social media platform, Twitter. And I think like my 12-year Twitterversary just passed, which is like
amazing.
Disgusting and absurd. But like, so there are, even before I invited it, now I'm a journalist, so you have, the public has somewhat unfettered access to me.
Yeah.
I don't have any private social media accounts because I just put all my stuff out there. I don't put anything inappropriate on my social media channels. But like people can message me whatever they want.
Yeah.
They can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And now that they have unfettered access to me, it is a lot worse. But when I was a kid, I mean, adults have access to you.
Right.
They can say things to you. They can pretend to be children. And because you're a child, you don't know.
Right.
You know, like I would say that I was a pretty, and many people in my life would agree with this, quote unquote, mature child, right? You start to get into some iffy territory when the kids think they're too big for their britches.
Yeah.
And I definitely did. And that was encouraged by the adults around me who treated me like an adult because I was a smart kid and they didn't want to infantilize me. Thus, they let me dick around on the internet.
Right.
I'm lucky that I didn't make any bad decisions, but I'm sure I was talking to some real weirdos out there.
Oh god.
The first place I remember publicly being on the internet was a Harry Potter forum. You would never know who's behind those things.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's just, you just don't know who's out there. And I'm telling you, from being on the internet, people are gross. The gross ones are out there. You will see some cute children videos. I get a lot of like farm content online. Like I like farm animals, and so sometimes you'll see like little cute little kids like out stomping in the mud on the farm or whatever. Those videos have so many likes and so many saves.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah. Why?
For what? And if you're not asking that question as a parent, I have some tough questions for you about the internet.
Right.
It's just so alarming and so scary. I don't even have a real life child, but I have anxiety about it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, you know, I've been on the internet also for a very long time. I mean, we were in chat AOL chat rooms when I was like 11.
ASL, age, sex, location.
Oh yeah, remember? Totally lying about that.
Ooh, yeah, same, for sure, same.
And probably just, hopefully, just talking to other 11-year-olds, trying to have. I'm not even gonna get into it, but you know what I mean. We were doing the thing let's be honest. Like 11-year-olds are very curious individuals. Even when we didn't have the internet, we were looking up words in the dictionary.
Right.
You know, so
trying to look at magazines and shit like that. I mean,
yeah. So now it's like a completely different world.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, I have been a very public person since. I mean, even always, you know, like I write really openly and honestly about my life. You can, I don't have any secrets.
I appreciate if you, that about you.
Yeah. You can find out anything about me. I remember, you know, I remember telling our boss when she hired me something, I was like, and she was like, I know, I read that on the internet, Lizzie, you know, like not a surprise. And yeah, so it's like, I made that choice for myself and I have been dealing with creeps on the internet since I was little young. And I know, you know, I remember the words of the first comment about my body on a story I wrote. And like, oh look, another saggy titted mission hipster. I was young.
Right.
I was not an accurate description. Anyway.
Even if it were so out of pocket. Right. Regardless.
But that's a choice I've made for myself and I am capable of dealing with it. And I'm maybe a little bit pathological. Like I like it. I like, I'm super glad we don't have the comment section anymore, but I used to get fully like revved up by people getting mad at me and talking shit about me, you know, like saying that mean things about me. If it's the right people saying this, the right dumb things, that encourages me. And that's just
in the same way.
That's how I am. Yeah. But I cannot expect a child to be that way.
Right. And as the gatekeeper of everything for a child.
Right.
I mean, I'll ask this directly to you. Don't you feel like a certain responsibility?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the last, me and her dad. I mean, and it's a good thing she has her dad because he's a lot saner than me.
Yeah. I don't need to like exclude him from the conversation.
No. But it's like, it's good. For me, because he is a much more private person.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say this, but like early, very early on in our relationship, he said everything I say to you is off the record. I was like,
smart
is
man.
That, is that off the record? I don't know, but very smart. Yeah. Nobody else ever said that to me, and that's why you will
he
not
read
find
you immediately. He was like, I know.
He
her.
Had gone on the internet. He's like, I don't want. Yeah, very smart. Wait, hold on to the smart ones.
Yeah.
But so I mean, he's a really good like also barometer of like what is and isn't okay. So I will run like if I'm writing a story like I took Nona on a trip, you know, I will show him the pictures before I post them so he can decide.
Right.
I mean, we can work together.
Of course, yeah.
Because I think she's the most. Here's what I understand also about parents. It's like, I think she's the most beautiful, brilliant, hilarious, perfect human being to ever exist. And I would love it if everyone else could see that. Because she's, you know, she's my baby. I love her. She's amazing. And she's a genius. Just by the way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I can understand that impulse to share your child because it, because everyone feels everyone I hope everyone feels that way about their kids. But we have to temper our impulses.
Yeah.
And think about the world we actually live in and the right of any kid to their own privacy and their own experience. Like it's I feel like how I rationalize it to myself is like I can tell stories about my experiences with Nona, you know, I can talk about trips we take or whatever for my work. I consider myself a professional.
Right.
I mean, I am a professional. I get paid to write, you know? So I don't think I think it's, I trust myself.
Right.
And maybe, you know what, when she's older, she's going to tell me how she feels and I will respect that too. Maybe she'll tell me I was wrong and and she'll be mad at me, and I will be sorry. No, I love you. but I also, I don't want to tell her story for her. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this is actually how I felt. You know, I have an MFA in fiction writing, but I mostly did creative nonfiction. And there's a really big question that I think a lot of people who write creative nonfiction, which is, you know, like personal essays, whatever, mm-hmm. like write about your life, contend with. And that is like, how do you write about other people if you're writing? And I have often come back to this. Like, I feel like I can write about my experience. In that sense, I can write about it, things that happened to me from my perspective, mm-hmm. but I can never like try to tell somebody else's story, a real live person. You know, fiction mm-hmm. is a different whatever.
Right.
But in the sense of writing about real things, I need to try to take out other people's motivation. I can say what happened to me, mm-hmm. but I can't say how they felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I haven't always been successful in that. And I think that's, it's a question that a lot of people who do, if you were in a creative nonfiction sort of like milieu, people would be like, what's ethical? And like, can right. I write about this thing? Do I have to wait till my grandma dies to write about this? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and people do, but, so I guess I hope that when Nona gets older, she either feels empowered to tell her story or not tell it.
Right.
You know, that's yeah. up to her too. A lot of people are not compelled to tell. You and me, we are journalists and we are these public facing people, but a lot of people aren't compelled to tell their own story.
Yeah, you know, my mom mm-hmm. is changing careers right now. Mm-hmm. She's moving from being like a more active crime scene technician to a teacher of it.
Wow.
Because she's been doing it for so long. She loves to teach and she's incredibly good at it because she's very charming and people like her.
Mm-hmm.
But she is, you know, as I'm talking her through this kind of, well, you got to get on social media.
Right.
She's like very afraid of the vulnerability of social media because she didn't grow up with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? She would do so incredibly well on it. I know she'll mm-hmm. have no problems when she sort of just sees it for what it is, but it's this, she sees it in this really unique way
uh-huh.
that I've never seen it, where it's this sort of big, scary obstacle mm. that leaves doors open for people to know parts of you that you don't want them to know.
Right.
Whereas I have always greeted the internet as a way for people to get to know me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On my terms.
Right.
Which is something I greatly appreciate. But the thing about kids is they can't have their own terms because they don't
right.
even know what things like emotional regulation are. They
no.
don't know their own brains. They don't know like
right.
just the mark that this is going to make in the internet forever.
Right. And part of being a kid, you know, I feel super grateful in a way that like social media did not come around until I was in college. Really. I mean, yeah. Facebook, I had an early Facebook account with a, you know, university email address. I was on MySpace, mm-hmm. Friendster. Mm-hmm. Even Friendster, I feel like that was probably when I was a freshman in college.
I never did Friendster, but I had a MySpace in middle school.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 10 years older
early
than you,
on.
So
yeah.
And I feel like making mistakes is this huge and crucial part of brain development, of becoming a person, and making those mistakes in public. Well, obviously you make those mistakes in public, but making those mistakes online amplifies them so much. And then you don't have any, I mean, let me put it this way. Say we were high school kids. And we were friends mm. and I talked to our friend over there and I was talking shit about you because that's the thing that high school kids do.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Uh-huh.
Like, OMG, you know what Destiny said about you. So that's like a three-way, but like a three-way talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, like when I was in high school, back in the old days, that happens. Friend over here confronts you and is like, Destiny, you said what about me?
Right.
And you can be like, nothing. I plead the fifth.
I'm
or you can have a conversation.
Say, the internet makes it impossible to gaslight girl boss your mistakes away.
No, you're right. Yeah. So like you could either have lied about it or you could have had a big fight or whatever. But it would have been temporary.
Yes.
I don't even remember most of these things.
Right.
I know that I had fights with lots of my friends and we're still like very close mm-hmm. friends. But there were months that we didn't talk. There was part of sixth grade. One of my best friends made me cry every day in humanities. Like that, but we're still friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that was between me and her and like maybe two other people. But like now I know kids in high school and I see like that happens. But it's like I'm saying this thing on TikTok. Someone else, maybe I'm just saying on TikTok to you or my small mm-hmm. group of friends. Someone screen records it, sends it to somebody else. Before you know it, mm-hmm. the whole school and beyond mm-hmm. is in on this. And now, I mean, everyone is bullying everyone. And it's so much bigger. It feels almost, it feels like a avalanche.
The way, all the ways that the internet have made our lives better, which is like an insurmountable amount of better, right? You can Google a mole on your arm and decide if you need to go to the doctor. Go to the
frequently, doctor. I do that.
Go to the doctor about your moles. Don't leave it to Google.
That felt real personal.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, it has made things so much easier in our everyday lives in a way that we can't even appreciate because we've had the internet around for so long.
Right.
With every plus, there is an absolute downfall of the internet. It is such a treacherous place, and it is so hard to forget that when we see the issues like that are going on with the Franks right now, where somebody portrays this life mm-hmm. for other people to look into on their terms.
Yeah.
When behind the scenes, something like legitimately, allegedly sinister is going on.
Right. And also, I think, you know, there is such a power in telling stories. And and that is we as humans, that is, we tell stories and that's how we exist. That's how we create our identities. And these are stories like a family YouTube vlog is a way that we are that they're telling a story. And it's a lie. And we don't, and you know, like it's a absolute created fantasy of what their perfect life is. I mean, that's what these Mormon mommy vlogs that I was obsessed with. They were these fantasies. They were fantasies that were being created by the writers. They're fantasies that we are absorbing. And even though it seems maybe harmless in some way, it's absolutely not harmless because the stories that we read and we consume create our identity. And I'm like looking like, is this real? Do people really live like this? And what am I doing that's wrong as a mom now? Right. You know? Or like, how am I like not this happy? Like I'm 28 and I'm just like living in San Francisco, kind of like wild. And then these people are like married with three kids by this point. Like, and they seem so happy. Like, am I unhappy? Am I bad? And I think if these could have been honest stories, it would have been different, I think. And there were some honest blogs, but we can look at, you know about Deuce? Do you know who Deuce is?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, Deuce, her real name is Heather. Okay. She was one of the, she wrote a blog about her office job that was like kind of trashing it. She was also a Mormon person from, but she's not religious anymore. She sort of became one of the first mommy bloggers, the real mommy blogger. Deuce is her name. And sorry, this is about to get super dark, but she killed herself like a couple months ago.
Yikes.
She was older than me. She had been very honest about a lot of the struggles that she had. Like, she had pretty severe alcoholism and look up Deuce. Heather is her name. Heather Armstrong. But I think she also had a different last name at a certain point. So anyway, I mean, and she was honestly and not honestly, right? Because she was sharing, she had this mommy blog about her kids. Then she and her husband broke up, which made people angry. You know, people think that they have like some sort of control over your life, and they believe the narrative that they're reading. And then it's like, oh, suddenly you're getting a divorce. Like, guess it wasn't as perfect as you said it was. And then turns out, oh, actually she was a really hardcore alcoholic most of this time. She is really, really, really suffering. And at the end she said some like things about, I think one of her kids is like non-binary or trans or something. And she said some things that were not cool, you know? Yeah. And anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's just that the stories that we see are not, it's not the truth, but
if
it's,
you think, is that real life? It's not.
Right.
Right. If you're thinking that and you think that sounds crazy, that somebody could be that perfect, that their house could be that perfect, that their life could be that perfect, it's because it's not.
Right.
And that's okay.
And, but like, we haven't even, we're not ready, or like, we haven't had the education yet to be like, just because this says it's reality doesn't mean it's reality. Mm-hmm. Reality TV isn't real. We know that. Right. But still, plenty of people think that the Kardashians' life is what you see on TV. And I'm sure it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, or like, so much reality TV. None of it's real. It is a version of some kind of truth that is meant to sell something.
Yep.
If it's the Kardashians, it's products. If it's a mommy blog, it's like a heteronormative lifestyle, right. or the Mormon church.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm going to give like creative writing a little bit too much credit here, or what we do. You know, there is a difference between journalism, which our goal is to tell the truth.
Right.
That is it. Like, it doesn't matter if someone comes out looking bad. That's how it is. This mm-hmm. is the truth. We are trying to get as close as we can to the truth and tell a true story.
Which can be very uncomfortable.
Which is, mm-hmm. you know, frequently very uncomfortable. And creative nonfiction, which is like, actually, you might say, well, that's less true than filming your kid or filming your life or whatever. But actually, it is trying to get to the truth. Just when you like see a picture, that's like one version of it. But when you know, actually try to create art to get closer to the truth, that's another way of getting mm-hmm. to the truth, you know? And I think we aren't suspicious enough of the things we see. And I don't know, we're probably going on too long here, but I think before we started this, we were talking a little about the Hart family, which we all mm-hmm. in Oregon know, yeah. the tragic story about Devontae Hart, who was, you know, there's this picture of him hugging a police officer, crying, and everybody was able to put on that picture their own ideas of what it meant. Like, oh, a black child hugging a white police officer, this beautiful, transcendent moment. And then, you know, a few years later, his mom's killed him and his siblings by driving their car off of a, you know, cliff. Mm-hmm. And maybe looking at that picture, what we were seeing was a kid who needed help.
Right.
You know, and maybe what we're seeing of these kids on YouTube, what we're seeing is kids who need help.
Yeah, you said to me while we were chit-chatting about this, preparing for the pod, like, at what point do viewers become culpable?
Yeah.
And that's genuinely it. Like, if you're not suspicious of people viewing your content on the internet, but also the content that you're viewing on the internet, you're doing a real disservice to yourself mm-hmm. and your kid if you're putting right. them on the internet. I'm just gonna say it. People yeah. might disagree. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say, when we were talking about that mommy blogger Deuce,
yeah.
If you or anybody you know are having a hard time, you can call 988. That's the suicide
yes, lifeline. Absolutely.
Please don't be afraid to call. They're there 24 hours yeah. every single day, just yeah. for the record.
Yes, call them.
But yeah, it's just such a tricky thing. There's no, as we evolve,
mm-hmm.
as kids have different, you know, relationships with the internet. I don't right. know why that was so hard for me to get out, but like, the term iPad kid wasn't a thing when I was a kid,
oh, yeah.
or certainly well, when you were no, a kid, yeah. you know what I mean? So it's all changing, and I'm not saying that there's like one avenue to take to put your kids on the internet or not put them on the internet, but the answer is not what Ruby Frank allegedly did.
No, certainly not.
You know, like, there has to be something that isn't showing your shiny life and then allegedly abusing your child behind closed doors.
Right. Right. I mean, I think like being critical, right. critically engaging with any medium. It is, like you're saying, it's so hard because technology is changing so fast. And we were talking about, like, when we were kids, we were on the internet in ways our parents couldn't even comprehend.
Right.
And there are kids now, it's the same. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the parents are behind. Yeah. We are behind, you know?
Yep.
So what can parents do, I think, is like, give your children critical engagement skills. And it's not that much different from TV. Like, we should be teaching kids to critically engage with anything that comes their way, whether it's a book, a TV show, a TikTok. Like, is that real? Does it feel real? Where does it come from? What are the sources? What is the goal? You know, I think thinking about the goal of any sort of media is super important, because a lot of the time people are trying to sell you products.
Yeah, I think that's why I was really prolifically on the internet from a really young age, I didn't end up in any bad situations because yeah. my mom, shout out to mom,
yeah.
taught me to engage with things critically, taught me yeah. to be suspicious of the people who were talking to me and the reason why they were talking to mm-hmm. me, and not in like an everyone's a bad person kind of way.
Right.
I mean, a little bit, but but I think it made me a better journalist, right? To
yeah.
be a critical thinker.
Totally. Yeah, I think that must have, I know that was a big thing too with my family. It's like, you know, the tragic, sad reality of having a child is you're never going to be able to be in every situation and figure out the answer for them, and you're never even going to know what those situations might be. So if you can teach them to critically engage no matter what the situation is, then you're giving them like skills,
right,
that can help in situations we can't even begin to comprehend.
And speaking of the internet, I mean, if you're looking for tools to have conversations with your kids about that, there are lots of places, lots of trusted places, mm-hmm. to find that kind of stuff. And you know, the internet can do good, but as we're seeing right now in the incident of, you know, Ruby Frank and Jody Hildebrand, right, it can do a lot of harm as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was not good for these
kids.
Not
like a bleak note, but like,
yeah. Well, you know, Jesus, what? Sometimes, sometimes we have a serious why though, because literally why though?
Literally why?
It's though? So hard for me to, I know that there are people out there that abuse their children. I can't understand it. Yeah. You know, I do think the majority of people are trying really hard to do the best for their kids. It seems like that might not be the case here. Yeah. In this Ruby Frank situation. But I think, like, generally, I'm going to say we're all trying to do the best for our kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that means keeping them off the internet.
Yeah, you can do it. You can, whatever's best for you and your kids, you can do, right, it. Just, I can't imagine the amount of effort,
oh God,
it takes.
Yeah. But I mean, I know, I'm like, right now, I'm like, shh, Tona will not have a phone till she's 18. Like, check back in with me. But, you, yeah, know, like, anyway, if you disagree with me, or you agree with me, or you just want to chat, or you're like, that
scream
was a bit dark, yeah, Hacker and Johnson, you can text me and, uh-huh, tell me that. Just text advice to 503-751-8731 and then click on the link and subscribe today.
First 2 weeks are free. Next week's after that, $2.99, pretty cheap.
Maybe, yeah.
And if you're looking for more why though content, that isn't a bummer, but sometimes has to do with the zeitgeist, AO, but also just general advice you can use for your life, go to www.organlive.com/why though, WHYTHO. You can find old columns, new columns, old episodes of this very podcast you're listening to.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's just like end on a positive note. Destiny, what's one thing you're looking forward to this week?
Man, what am I looking forward to this week? Honestly, I'm looking forward to the weekend because I came home from Florida and didn't unpack at all. I made the mistake. I laid in my, ooh, bed and I didn't unpack. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to some late summer cleaning. I know that's, ooh, not very exciting, but I finished, yeah, the book I was reading, so... Okay. That's what I was looking for.
Ooh,
to
I need
most.
A new book. Actually, if you have any book recs, just text me at,
yeah,
503-751-8731.
I'll take them too.
Yeah, I need a new book.
What about you?
I am just planned a trip that I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. If you know my daughter, please, this is a secret.
Yeah, don't tell them.
But we're gonna go on a pretty fun trip. I'm not even gonna say what it is. I'm not even gonna say what it is. But I'm just saying, you'll hear more about it, I'm sure. But I'm like pretty stoked. I just planned a trip. You know, I don't know about you. I'm a person who loves trips,
mm-hmm.
and I love to plan a trip. I have a couple trips planned, and I just like love to plan them and like look where we're gonna go and think about them. And I have months to think about these trips, and I'm so excited.
I love that. Well, we hope you're excited about something. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the reader response about the screaming neighbor child that will be coming out Tuesday after this comes out on Thursday. And thanks so much for listening.
Thanks. I'm so glad to be back with you.
Me too.
Yay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
For listening to Why Though the Podcast. Subscribe for weekly episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. If you're looking for more Why Though, check out my column that comes out every Tuesday on OregonLive.com. You can support our local journalism by going to OregonLive.com/podsupport.